You probably recognize that sound, don't you? That is the sound of plastic burning. It's not the best sound to hear, but it's one that we hear a lot in Wisconsin. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Josh Scramlin. And let's face it, it's really, really difficult to properly dispose of agricultural plastics such as silage and grain bags and bunker covers. And because of the great lengths that a farmer would have to go to properly dispose of an ag plastic, it's much, much easier to burn it or bury it. But just because it's the easy thing to do does not mean that it's the right thing to do. In fact, the issue of ag plastics in the state of Wisconsin is beginning to come to somewhat of a head. To summarize, a company called Revolution Plastics offers a free dumpster program to farmers. They will drop a dumpster off at your farm, you fill it with ag plastics, and then when it's full, you call them, they'll pick it up for you, and they will dispose of them properly. The man behind this operation?
Price Murphy, Director of Operations, Revolution Plastics.
Price and his crew have collected millions upon millions of pounds of ag plastics, but that's not even scratching the surface.
So in the past 3 years, Josh, we've collected over 60 million pounds from Wisconsin farms, and we believe that's about half of what's out there to be recycled.
Recently, a stakeholders meeting for ag plastics took place at the DNR building in downtown Madison.
The meeting today with the DNR, DATCAP, Wisconsin Extension, county entities, and farmers was all about reigniting the discussion around recycling plastic. We've been recycling here in Wisconsin for 3 years. We've collected over 60 million pounds, and we wanted to reinvigorate the story there, make sure people knew we were still here, still collecting plastic, and still trying to make a difference.
Can you walk me through the process of how you guys offer these free dumpsters to farmers and what those dumpsters are used for?
Absolutely. So in Wisconsin now, we have over 3,000 dumpsters on farms that are collecting plastic. And the process is the farmer picks up their dumpster, they place it on their farm. They use their ag plastics, silage bags, bunker covers, things like that. And then they place them in the dumpster. They call us for pickup. We come pick it up. We take it in for recycling at our factory. We're going to turn it into trash bags, construction film, ag film, and things of that nature.
Unfortunately, some things that are not supposed to go in the dumpsters get into the dumpsters at time. What are those objects that farmers are throwing into the dumpsters that you would tell them not to?
Well, net wrap and twine are a big contaminant. Dirt is a huge contaminant. Excessive amounts of dirt are plaguing our program right now. In addition to that, you've got animal carcasses and things of that nature that are problematic.
And what are some of the other challenges to the program?
So the biggest challenge right now is being able to break even on the program. So we do this as more of a charitable thing. It's not a profit center for us. But right now, we're getting so much dirt. There's more plastic to be collected, but we need to find a little funding to help us pay for a portion of the program. Revolution Plastics will continue to pay their part, but the farms or the county or the state need to pick up a little bit of the tab so we can collect more plastic and keep this thing going for the long term.
And as far as the cost effectiveness, some farmers might just say, well, it's easier for me to burn the stuff. What would you say to them?
Well, we're here to recycle. We know there's landfills you can put it in. We know there's burning you can do, but it's not the right thing to do. We're taking this plastic, we're diverting it from landfills, we're keeping them from having to burn it, we're turning it into a useful product and keeping the life cycle going. So if you want to do the right thing and recycle, Revolution Plastics can help you out.
I know that you kind of touched on it just a second ago, but what would be the next steps that would have to be taken to continue this program in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, the next steps for us is we need to poll all the farmers working with the UW Extension and understand who wants to pay just a few bucks for the program to help us put more trucks on the road, more drivers in trucks, more dumpsters out there. We want to collect more plastic. We believe we've collected 60 million pounds in the last 3 years. We believe there's twice that much out there to collect. We want to be able to collect that. We just need a little financial help to do so.
That financial help that Price is talking about is somewhere in the ballpark of $2 million. And as many of us know all too well, it's difficult enough to find $5 lying around, let alone $2 million. But if that $2 million were to be able to be found somewhere, Revolutions Plastic would be able to continue their mission of recycling ag plastics. This is something very interesting that I found out at the stakeholders meeting. Turns out that ag plastics are not banned from landfills, but they pose a huge threat to landfills. To get a first-hand account, I spoke with...
My name is Melissa Johnson. I'm the director of the Solid Waste Department for Marathon County, and I'm also the president of Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin.
In landfills, have you noticed less ag plastic ever since the crusade against the plastics began?
Yeah, and the crusade is against landfill disposal of plastics and into more productive use. So you have to kind of contextualize that a little bit. Plastic actually has a value, and if we put it in the landfill, well, it'll never be a value. For landfill owner-operators, we have seen less coming into landfills because there has been an option. And that's great. Because in landfills, these big bulky plastics, number one, they don't compact. If you've ever had a, you know, piece of plastic film and crunched up in your hand, unless it's Glad Wrap, it's going to expand. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't expand or doesn't compact. It also lays in layers. It doesn't decompose. So what it does is it creates areas where liquids can gather and stay. You don't want that in landfills. You want the water to percolate through landfills. And also when you're drilling gas wells, which you're required to do in landfills, if you get a bunch of that plastic, you're actually not creating an opportunity for good gas extraction.
Would you compare the hindrance that ag plastic poses to landfills to the problem that mattresses pose to landfills? Would it be worse? Would it be better?
They're exactly the same. They don't compact. You can't put a gas well through them. They create voids, actually. Here's the other thing I talked about, perched liquids. If you create voids in landfills, you have areas where you can start gathering oxygen. Landfills are supposed to be anaerobic, without oxygen. That's your decomposition model. But if you've got all these little pockets, what happens is when you add oxygen into a decomposition situation, you produce heat. So when you produce heat in a landfill, it's already warm. If you get temperatures above 138, 140, 145, 150, what you have is the potential for landfill fires. So those things that don't compact, mattresses, ag plastic, they create problems for landfills. And it's also just a poor use of airspace. Let's put in landfills the stuff that we don't have other uses for. You know, contaminated soils, industrial byproducts that don't have an alternative use, dirty diapers, things, you know, let's put in landfills what needs to go there. Let's find alternatives if we can.
Heated might be an okay word. People got a little bit upset when they started talking about, do we ban ag plastics? Do we not ban ag plastics? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really fix the problem at all. So what do you see as being steps that we could take that maybe would alleviate some of the issues?
Well, I think what we discussed today and what became very apparent is we've got to set up a better infrastructure for number one, collecting it, and then transporting it. Those are always the key issues with any manufacturing process. And when I say manufacturing process, what I'm saying is you've got material at one location. That's your feedstock. How do you get your feedstock to the location where it's going to be made into something? So we need to, banning it still wouldn't change things because plastic bottles are banned from landfills, and I guarantee if you come to my landfill, you will find plastic bottles because people don't always recycle. So it's not the landfill ban, it's the infrastructure, it's the education, it's the transportation network. How do we make that more seamless? And education is, you don't do it once, you do it always.